not necessarily about the specifically to this organization, but with some of the ones, Madam Administrator, that are doing some programming that would maybe fall under CARES expenditures. I guess my thinking is it can't be used for budgeted items, but then if we don't budget it for next year, we have until December to spend it. So does that mean that we can just have them apply for that? And there are a few of them on here. I mean, it's...
you get what he's asking? This is Robert Bender at the budget workshop yesterday. He's saying, look, we can't budget to give, for example, United Way, I'm just making up numbers, you know, 20 grand, okay? And then get CARES Act reimbursement for that. But what if we just gave them, I don't know, nothing, and said, come back in December and ask us for 20 grand, hint, hint, and then we'll get the reimbursement for it. I mean, he's being creative, right? And she's like, but I like the creativity. 639 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Janice Gilley is the county administrator. She's on the phone right now. It may not be the ideal way to secure CARES Act reimbursements. Is that a fair way to describe your answer?
I appreciate the creativity of thinking out of the box and trying to make sure that we can fund those valuable resources in our community. And so I really appreciated the effort.
Yeah, me too. I know, me too. I thought, hey, do it. You know, if that's the difference, you know, one way, how now or now. Okay, I will tell you the honest truth. I usually try to watch as many of the meetings as I can. The budget meetings in particular are just, I have to draw a line somewhere. And I did not watch any of these except for like about 10 minutes of it yesterday. And I caught that part. What, in 1 minute, what do I need to know about what's happening in the budget this year?
So, as you know, we are required to do a balanced budget. And so we're very fortunate to have had nice property valuation rates go up, you know, this past year. So that does make it look like we have more money to spend next year. In a preponderance of care, we are trying to be very careful and make sure that we put as much in reserves as we can, because we all know that we're probably not going to look the same financially this time next year as we do right now. And so if there is an increase in the budget due to the way that we are moving projects forward in this current budget versus rolling them forward in the future. But just be aware that even though there is a large increase, we are being very careful with how we're going to spend it, and you know, so that we don't have to make huge cuts in the future that are going to impact the citizens in terms of services.
Okay, no, that's actually a very interesting thing to know, and also because, and here you correct me if I'm wrong, but we are not allowed to run, not allowed to run a budget deficit, but we are allowed to run a budget that allows us to put money away for a rainy day contingency. Is that right?
Correct. Surplus versus deficit. You're right.
Very good. Well, I appreciate the fiscal prudence and responsibility of approaching it that way. At this time, do we have any indication of what the size of that savings for the future is going to look like out of our total budget?
So what we've done is we've put about $7.7 million. We currently have $26.9 million in reserves, but, you know, some of it's statutorily required. And the rest of it is what I'm calling, the 7.7 is what I'm calling budget stabilization, because that's about the delta that we're losing right now this fiscal year. We also have the situation where we mentioned at the budget meeting, we have about 240 open positions across the county for just a number of reasons. And those available positions are also creating, you know, that appearance of us having enough money to help fund the gap as well.
Sure, because we're not paying those salaries right now, but what we are paying, I assume, is overtime, and we're also creating extra stress for employees, and we're probably having people not take vacation because they're having to pick up workload. Am I generally characterizing that right?
Yeah, I would say that I think that overtime is something that's not uncommon, particularly in the public safety and public health arenas, fire, EMS, and corrections. Most of our other departments manage overtime pretty well. We do have some overtime also in ECAT. But for the most part, we are able to manage the overtime in most of the budgets. And we are trying to be cognizant of our employees you know, their well-being. It has been difficult and very challenging for people to take a lot of time during these past 5 months.
No, I know that it has been, and I also assume just from talking to you before that one of the main things we're also trying to do is position ourselves so that we are going to be able to take as much advantage of CARES Act funding as we consider ourselves to be eligible for through whatever legally allowed within the parameters of the act means there are. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm hoping to have a conversation with the commissioners today about the potential of 5 buckets of CARES funding and the percentage breakdown of those. So we would have one bucket that would be for like Escambia County residents, families, and small businesses. Another bucket, and I'm calling them buckets,
no, that's
would
the term.
Be
yeah,
for
yeah.
Human.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's not an accounting term, however, but, you know, human services, human and social services, we would do public health and safety. We would have a category for general government, which would be county, municipalities, and the constitutionals, and then also looking at what I would call a replenishment account, because we don't really know which account may drain first, or you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. having a portion set aside so that we could replenish if we needed to one of the buckets if they diminished quicker.
And the basic.
So I'm hoping to have that conversation.
Yeah,
oh, I'm just saying I'm hoping to have that conversation with them this morning when we discuss kind of a COVID update.
No, that makes perfect sense. And again, for people who haven't been paying as much attention to this, the basic idea is the federal government, through the state, having finally distributed some and keeping some back, but eventually we might be able to qualify for a fair amount of money that would be designed to reimburse us for extra expenses taken on specifically because of the way we have had to change what we do. Like, for example, buy PPE for the bus drivers or something like that is a real simple example. Mm-hmm. If we have to do that because of COVID-19 or help out families and businesses, same thing, we might eventually be able to get reimbursement for that, and that would fall within those buckets. I like that approach. Those categories make sense to me. What are we looking at today in the meeting? I kind of glanced over the agenda a little bit, but what do you see today that people would want to pay attention to particularly?
One of the issues, there are always very interesting issues. One of the interesting issues that we'll be discussing is what we call landfill mining. There are some interesting policy decisions around that particular issue, whether or not there's a return on the investment. And there's been a lot of analysis done. I'm not really sure how that issue is going to end up, but what it does is it could potentially provide capacity at the landfill. But if the ROI is not there, I completely understand that for the commissioners. The other thing we'll be doing though is we will be talking about the next cell, construction. And while those aren't sexy, trust me, if you've ever done a tour of the landfill, it really does give you an appreciation for trying to limit your refuse. Because once those things are full, and once we have that, I call it a mountain, as high as it'll go, we're going to be in trouble. So managing that is a really big deal for us as a society, whether we realize it or not. And then the other thing that just from an internal perspective, we will be discussing our new contract with our employee clinic, which is really important. I think it's an important benefit that we provide the sheriff's department and the county at this point, and then the city will be joining us with the next contract. And so that's an important benefit. You know, sometimes people say that maybe the county doesn't pay as much as other places, but I would share with you that we do have really good benefits. Trying to take care of the health of our employees is one of those benefits.
Absolutely. No, it's important. And, one of the things, and this is, I know you'll appreciate me bringing this up, but the census matters quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, one of the things that people may not realize, because it doesn't get talked much about, David Stafford actually mentioned this last week with Commissioner Burgosh, is redistricting of the 5 districts in Escambia County will happen after the census. An odd little element of that is that there may be people who don't vote this year because they reside in an even district. They might get redistricted, and then next 2 years won't get to vote again because they might move into an odd district. Just kind of a weird fact. But the key is, do your census if you haven't done it, right?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. So all the commissioners and the city council and the mayor have all been engaged in trying to help with the campaign, because the day of our campaign that we were doing our big kickoff at Brownsville with all the community partners was like the first day of COVID, and we had to shut down all, mm-hmm. Big events. And I just want to share with y'all that we have set a goal of 80% in Escambia County
wow,
of the
high.
Response rate. Well, it is high, but we've been in the 70s in the past. We're currently hovering around 56 to 58%, and quite frankly, it has never been easier, and your information isn't shared, and there's only a couple of questions. So for those that might be concerned about, sharing sensitive information, this is one of those times when it's probably the least amount of information that'll be shared publicly, on this platform. So I would just really, really encourage folks to please fill out the census and to please help us out. There are numerous locations in which you can have access to that, and we can certainly discuss that more next week whenever
sure.
I come on with you.
Absolutely.
Make sure everybody fills it out.
And I love your Mask Up campaign. I think that the woman that you've got doing the video of it, she's adorable. Love her. And I know sometimes you like mm-hmm. to ask me questions. I didn't get a chance to talk to you before we went on the air today. Did you have one for me today or no?
I don't today.
All right. I'll look
I thought I would
to
give you a break.
Fair enough. All right. Janice Gillis.
I didn't want to overtax you.
Oh, I appreciate that. I always love a good conservative approach to the interview. Janice Gillis, she is the county administrator for Escambia County. The meeting today, open forum, starts at 8:30. 9 o'clock is for the regular meeting. Janice, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Y'all take care. Be safe.